Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, December 8th, 2017. We are recording just after 23:30 UTC, so a little different time than we usually do. I'm Sam Mentor. Mm-hmm. Yvonne Beau is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. Hello. Hello, everybody.
And we're doing this at a different time.
Come on, motherfucker.
I'm sorry. You got that thing in my head now.
Come on, motherfucker.
Anyway.
And then it's got the whole freaking, like, how the hell they put the freaking, like, Thomas and Friends freaking, you know, the music behind it with that. I mean, I'm just like, yeah, okay, you know.
Yvonne is talking about a video that went
super viral real quick.
Yeah, and it's by a guy. Let's see, I had this up a second. Well, actually, it's not by there's a person who
retweeted. It's not by the guy. The guy only retweeted it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, there was an original video that had, you know, Thomas and Friends toy trains that doing all kinds of stunts. But then somebody else.
I'd seen that video a long time ago.
Somebody else took that and put a rap soundtrack over it, which Yvonne was just singing.
Well, wait. It wasn't just a rap soundtrack, because even the original video, I don't think, had the Thomas and Friends music. I played it today.
It had different music. Yeah.
It had different music. Yeah. So this guy did a remix of combining the Thomas and Friends theme music together with a song from Notorious B.I.G.
Yes.
Like,
and
Yvonne
can't get it out of his head, apparently.
Out of my head. Yes.
And so if you want
to
go,
like, I need more curse words suggested to me. And now I've got a song that basically the main refrain is, come on, motherfucker, come on. Come on, motherfucker, come on. So I'm in line over here at the airport because I'm recording this from Dallas-Fort Worth Airport right now, in between flights, like right now. And the damn line is not moving. What do you think really is the right theme for when the line's not moving?
Anyway, if you guys want to find this, the guy who retweeted it, STXVO, you can go and then look through his timeline. You'll probably find it. It keeps getting taken down for copyright.
And he keeps putting it back up.
We'll get to real things in a second, but because of copyright claims, like he'll retweet it from somewhere and there'll be a copyright claim. And of course, I was thinking it was the music. It was the Notorious B.I.G. music, or maybe even the Thomas music.
That's
or something
what I
like
thought
that.
Too.
But as I looked into some of the threads on this, apparently the person who's putting in the copyright claims is not the soundtrack owners. It's the person who did the original video of the stunt trains with the wooden trains.
Yep.
Which, you know, okay, it's his video, right?
Right.
But
yeah, but I'm just like, I mean, give me a break, man. Come on. Really? Really? I mean, I guess the guy is just being a jerk. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends. Like, if anybody's making any money off this thing, then I would want my share, right?
I don't think he is. It was his retweet.
No, I know. But somebody made the video that's being retweeted, right?
Right.
It just gets, it keeps getting pulled down and then put back up somewhere else. And so who knows who the original creator is? I'm sure somebody knows. I don't know who the original creator is right now. But, you know, anyway, so regardless, we have an agenda today. You know, first I was going to talk to Yvonne, we're doing this at a weird time, as he said, because he's doing this in the middle of a flight, because our other times this week fell through. But, you know, we're getting this done. I stopped my work Friday afternoon a little bit early, and I'm going to have to go do some more after I finish recording the show. So I'll get done all my crap, but late on a Friday night instead of Friday afternoon. So thank you, Yvonne.
You're welcome.
It doesn't matter. Our real agenda today, our three main segments are: last week we promised you Yvonne's impressions of Russia. He went, you know, he went to Russia and he's been back a little while now, but when we recorded our last show, he was on the way back. And then we'll do update of the various Trump scandals, some of which are Russia related. There have been not so much anything big and explosive, but all sorts of little things breaking all week long, and a few things that like broke but then turned out to be nothing as well. And so we'll talk about those. And then finally, we'll wrap it up by talking about Franken and Conyers and Moore and Fahrenthold. And so I guess we're talking sexual harassment again for like, we keep coming back to this topic. But this time we're concentrating on the politicians. And so we'll talk about that. That's the agenda for today. In this first little segment, though, a few smaller items before we move on to the real things. First of all, we had a request on our Facebook page to please have an update on my Bitcoin stash, because Bitcoin has been going crazy.
Nuts.
So let me go get a live update.
I'm going to get the pricing update. Yeah, I got my currency. It's just like I'm all over the place right now. I keep having to converse currency. So I got this currency app. Like right now, that has actually real time updates to Bitcoin. So Bitcoin right now is at
16,000. What? Oh no, wrong.
16,029 right now.
Yeah, so I have 16,458. But you know, one of the things is with Bitcoin, there are a number of different exchanges.
There isn't one exchange,
right? And so there's actually a range of prices at any given time, and I'm sure people are arbitraging the hell out of that.
They're trying to at least, but there aren't.
There's not enough
one
liquidity.
One thing I also exactly that's part of the problem. There's not a lot of liquidity.
So
it's one of the reasons why the price is going insane.
So I wanted to my update for those of you who remember back in 2014. You know, Bitcoin had just hit 1,000 for the first time, and we were chatting
about it
and the technology and blah blah blah. We had some discussions on the show, and in December 2014, I agreed to buy some just to sort of figure out what the experience was like. Blah blah blah. I opened up an account at Coinbase,
and this was after a bank had been like ripped off, or no, they weren't ripped off. The bank ripped off the guys that had Bitcoin.
Well, it was Mt. Like Gox had issues. Anyway, regardless, I bought $50 worth of Bitcoin, which since the price was almost exactly at 1,000 minus, you know, it was a little bit off, but it was really close to 1,000 at the time I bought it. And it was, so I bought 0.05 Bitcoin, so a bit nickel. For that $50. So my update, when Yvonne listed the price, I was listing how much my Bitnickel is worth. As of this moment, $823.70.
Nice.
So now.
So we should have gone all in.
We should have got. So now I bought that in December 2014. So almost exactly 3 years ago. Let me see do I have an actual history here.
Now, at one point, you bought it at 1,000.
I bought it December 16th, 2013. Sorry.
All right, let me see. I got a chart app. Let's see.
I bought it when the price was $973.60.
Right. And at some point, I know
$49
around there,
$32. Now, it went down. What was the low? I think it went down from nearly 1,000 down to like 200 or something.
You bought it. When was it again? Tell me the date again, because I'm updating a chart here.
Bought it.
What date was it again?
I bought it December 16th, 2013 at a price of $973.60.
2013. Okay, so I got that. It was at 1,000 then.
I bought it at 973.
Right, yeah, okay, yeah. And let's see, the low in that time period was $68.67.
Wait, $68? Yep. It dropped below 100?
Yes, it says here, hold on.
It doesn't. I thought it bottomed at like 200. But you've got a chart in front of you, I don't, so.
Okay, no. The chart, you're right. The chart, it was going back to the 27th. No, you're totally right. It bottomed out at 200, around 200 bucks.
Right. Yeah. So my $50 went down to being worth about $10, if I'm doing my math right.
Right. Right. Correct.
And now it is back to what did I just
800 say? And some odd dollars.
800 and some odd dollars worth of Bitcoin after this big rally in the last couple of weeks that's been absolutely insane.
That makes no sense.
I mean, it was up, you know, 60% in less than a week.
Right.
So
it's going up like every day, like 1,000. It's just nuts.
So, as I've joked with Yvonne before, it's time to liquidate all your holdings and put it all in Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Right.
Sell it, buy as much Bitcoin as you can.
Yeah. Plus, the problem is liquidity, too, of this crazy market. I mean, let's see. In 3 months right now, according to this chart, it went from a low over the last 3 months of 3,244 to 17,129 and a high. I'm sorry, but I just, you know, as much as attractive as it looks, it's really cool on the way up. But when you're in one of these and all of a sudden it comes crashing like crazy, it's not fun to be on that train.
So. I'll tell you, I'm of course keeping my BitNickel. I'm not going to do anything with it.
Of course. I mean, there's no point in doing anything with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and let it ride.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, what the hell? Why not? It was $50. You know, the way I look at it is if it goes to zero right now, I will not look at it as if I've lost $900. I lost $50.
Nope. $50. Exactly. Yeah. It's like being at the casino. Right. Yeah, basically. It's exactly what it is.
Now I did. For the heck of it, since it's been several years since I did this, I bought $50 worth of Ethereum a few days back.
Which is a competing cryptocurrency, right?
It's the second biggest cryptocurrency. And I bought a little over 0.1 of those because it's at a much lower price. And there's one other.
And how's that one doing?
My actual purchase price was exactly $50 worth of it, and it is now worth $47.98.
Woo! All right. Yeah.
I mean, there was a little fee in there too, I think. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Oh, sure.
It
doesn't matter. Okay, it's pretty much stagnant right now. Nobody's going crazy on Ethereum.
It's been a few days. No, actually, if you look at Ethereum...
In a few days! Freaking, like,
no, I know.
Bitcoin has moved up and down like $3,000, $5,000!
Well, actually, if you look at the charts of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin, which is the number three one of these, and you look at them on a yearly basis, all three of them have gone crazy over the last year. They've roughly paralleled each other.
Okay.
But
I'm saying compared to Bitcoin, this is like, you know, this is like, I mean, it's just, a, you know, it's calm compared to Bitcoin.
Well,
compared to Bitcoin.
No, Bitcoin over the last year was up 2,043%. Ethereum over the last year was actually up 5,400%.
Well, yeah, but it's starting from a lower amount. But it's Ethereum hasn't. Okay, what I'm saying is the last 2 weeks, which we've had the lunacy Bitcoin thing. Ethereum hasn't moved up and down like
the big Ethereum
300, 500. I mean, right now it's like up 1,000% in a month.
The big Ethereum jump was like in May and June.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. So right now it's, you know.
So anyway, all of these are freaking crazy. Okay, that's the bottom line. Now,
yeah, they're nuts.
Yeah, and I tweeted something a little bit earlier as well that, you know, there's another there's this thing as well, CryptoKitties. Did you click through and look at this? For those of you who don't know,
CryptoKitties. I saw the picture of it. I laughed my ass off. I did not click through it,
though. So here's the deal with CryptoKitties.
But I did.
That CryptoKitties is a game where you can buy and trade cartoon cats that are all sort of uniquely determined. So they're all a little bit different. They have different colors, different features, different faces, different, you know, they're just all slightly different, okay? Through some sort of genetic algorithm. And you can actually take these cats and you can breed them to make a new cat. You can do all kinds of different stuff. You can trade them and you can buy and sell them. And they're based, the thing that guarantees their uniqueness is the Ethereum blockchain. So, you know, if you have a cat, a particular cat, no one else has that cat, and you have proof that you have that cat, and you can. And anyway, so there's apparently a market for these cats that's going crazy as well. So, like, people are buying the cats on this game, holding them for a few days, and selling them for double or triple what they bought them for. And apparently, the most expensive one of these cartoon cats yet to sell was $117,000.
Wow.
For a little cartoon cat based on...
Okay, that's nutty. that's really, you know, that's insane. That's insane. Like, completely.
You're not... I mean, I know you're reluctant to put your money in Bitcoin, but come on. Can you put your money in CryptoKitties?
No.
I mean, look.
No.
This cat that cost $117,000, it's a cute little cat with, like, purple on the edge of its ears and tails, and, like, it looks like a diamond in its stomach.
Okay, I
don't. No. You could have this for only $120,000.
No. Even if it was worth, like, $5, I wouldn't buy it. Okay, so forget it.
But, you know, this guy who bought it for $117,000, you know, by now he might have turned this thing around and sold it for $300,000.
Who knows? I get it. I'm not getting into CryptoKitties. No. These are fucking psychopaths. What's wrong with these people? I mean, I don't know. Well, look, it's not like it's any different or crazy. I mean, that apparently found out the Saudi prince that paid $450 million for that, what was it, a Da Vinci painting?
Yeah, something like that.
I can't remember. $450 million for a painting, for a damn painting. I mean, one painting.
Yeah. Anyway, so enough about the Bitcoin. I mean, the bottom line is, it's interesting. It's gone up. Now, of course, I think about, like, if instead of, you know, buying $50 worth of this crap, I'd put in, like, a couple thousand, that would be really nice, right? Or if I'd bought the $50 worth 3 years earlier in 2011, you know, that $50 in 2011 would be worth something like $3 or $4 million now. If I'd put $50 in 2011, and you keep hearing that story about that guy who, you know, the first quote unquote real purchase with Bitcoin was the guy who bought a pizza. He got somebody to agree.
I remember that. Yeah.
To sell him a pizza in exchange for Bitcoin rather than cash. The price of that pizza at this point is getting close to $1 billion.
That's one hell of a pizza. It's one hell of a fucking expensive pizza, tell you what.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's a pricey pizza. I bet you that guy is regretting that.
Yeah, I haven't seen the exact calculation of how many millions it is, but it's hundreds of millions and probably getting close to a billion. Anyway, enough about Bitcoin. Yvonne, another of the short things I wanted to get in, of course, we talked like a long time about that, but Yvonne, you have an iPhone 10 now. What are your initial impressions?
The display, the quality of the colors is like really, really cool. I held it up, you know, like to look at pictures, the ones that I've taken, like with my old phone or with any other devices and whatever, or to look at them on the screen. And just the quality of the screen is really incredible. The actual device itself, the actual quality of the feel of the device itself, it feels like, I know it's made, the back is made out of glass, but it feels extremely solid. Okay. Mm-hmm. And weighty. Okay. All right. As a device. One thing I had an iPhone SE, so even though it had a lot of features like Apple Pay and whatever, there's one thing I didn't have, which was haptic feedback, okay? Mm-hmm. Which I found is very cool. Like when you're scrolling through something and it actually feeds back to you, so you feel like, you know, oh, you're going to the next thing. That touch of feedback is actually quite cool. So I like that. Overall, I've been very happy with it. I don't want to, you know, I think the phone, the way the face recognition works very well. There's a lot of features that they built in terms of making it that it recognizes when you're looking at it. So it only displays like announcements to you, or like when you're looking, when it knows that you're looking at it, if it's ringing, it will turn down to ringing because it knows that you're looking at it, for example. So why the hell am I going to keep, you know, ringing at you? I already caught your attention and stuff like that, which I found like it's really cool. There just seems to be a lot of like very, there was a lot of thinking and touches as to how the face recognition, the software itself integrates with it and how it reacts to certain things. So I found that kind of really good so far. I've been very happy with it, you know?
My wife,
I don't want to drag it too long into it.
Yvonne and I had a quick thing where, you know, I was mentioning that it, you know, it still felt cramped to me. And he's like, it's plenty big, blah, blah, blah. And the difference between my old phone and an iPhone 10 is only about 9%. And, but I'm not using it regularly, because it's my wife's phone, not mine. So I did ask my wife, by the way. And she says that she's pretty much used to it at this point, but she still feels a little bit cramped compared to her larger iPhone 6 Plus. And the difference is, for those of you who aren't paying attention into the detail, the screen overall is bigger, but it's taller, but a little bit narrower, 9%
narrower. It's a little
bit narrower. And so, right. And you know, Yvonne's coming from a smaller phone to a bigger phone. So it's bigger, right, no matter what.
To me, it is big. I mean, there's no getting around the fact it's big. I mean, one thing is that with my hand, I have difficulty trying to use it with one hand. It really is a lot easier to use it with both.
Right.
To do anything, which is that is.
It takes a little bit of getting used to.
I knew that was something that was a change, but I'm willing to live with that, like, right now. The main reason I wanted the phone was, number one, I had a very older phone, but the one thing that is very convenient is that it has 256 gigabytes of RAM, mm-hmm. and I am able to download all my media now. I've been traveling so much that in many, especially on long flights, it's not, you can't really stream. Right. Or it gets, you know, like, when I was in Russia, they actually, the roaming was actually based on, I don't know, it was a data roaming. I didn't have a day pass where I could just pay $10 a day for my unlimited plan, which is usually what I get in most countries, like right now. So, I just wanted all that in there. So I didn't have to be, you know, depending on being able to stream, especially there's a lot of places, you know, where, that I travel to that, sometimes the data speed isn't that great.
Right.
So, you know, so that's convenient to me.
Okay. So anyway, you like it. I like it.
I would recommend it to anybody who's going to buy a new phone. I would highly recommend it.
Yeah. And my year's next year. We'll see what Apple comes out with next year. But yeah, I look at my wife and daughter who both have iPhone 10s now, and I'm like, it looks like a nice phone. So
it does look very, it does look very nice. Yeah.
Okay. Two more quick things from me, just updates of things that I've mentioned before in the show. I'd mentioned last, I think it was like April or May, we had a problem with our projector screen. So we stopped using our projector and we ordered the parts to fix it and blah, blah, blah. And we had the parts by like June, but we finally fixed it last week.
Wow.
The part sat there for 6 months, almost 6 months.
Nice.
But we finally we fixed everything. We had a new bulb for the projector too, because it was also out. So we got everything working in, except one thing. It's supposed to be a automated screen that, like, you know, it's a powered screen, so it'll go up and down. Because it's in front of a window in our living room. But we had it hooked up so that it was attached to the projector, so it automatically go up and down when we turned the projector on or off, right? Not working still. There's we haven't debugged it yet. There's probably like a loose wire somewhere. We'll figure it out. So we can raise the screen up and down with a remote, but it doesn't do it automatically when we turn on and off the projector. And because something we haven't hooked up quite right, and we'll figure that out eventually, but that might take another 6 to 9 months.
Okay.
So, but we got that set up. And then finally, my last update before we move on to the more serious topics A little bit over a year ago, I was talking about our Christmas tree, and it's that time of year again. And last year's conversation was, you know, we'd always gotten, like, except for like 1 year when we were moving or something, we'd always gotten live trees. But last year, the place where we bought live trees was not there. And so we were like, screw it, let's just get an artificial tree. But we couldn't get the one we really wanted. So we got a regular old artificial tree from like one of the big box stores, and it was fine, whatever. But the one that we really wanted last year, we couldn't get, because by the time we were looking for it, which was of course like a week before Christmas, everybody was out, and it was a fairly specialty artificial tree anyway. And so it turns out, like, in most places, they're completely sold out by like, you know, mid-November or something. But this year, we remembered on a regular basis over the course of the year, we've been checking to see when these places got in stock, and someplace had it at the beginning of November, and we ordered it, and we got it, and just yesterday, my wife put it up. We have not decorated it yet, but it is up. For those of you who didn't listen last year, Yvonne, do you remember what was special about this tree?
You know, I don't, like, right now. Sorry.
If you remember, before I say congratulations for paying attention to the show for a year, it's an upside-down tree hangs from the ceiling.
Oh, that's right. You had the upside-down tree. That's right. And didn't it fall or something?
No. We hadn't bought it yet. We couldn't find it last year. So now we have
it.
It just arrived.
That's right. You guys had talked about that. Right.
Yeah. So we
just arrived.
It arrived like a week ago. We just set it up. But
that's not just.
Okay. Of course, I'm being corrected here. In any case, it's an upside-down tree. It hangs from the ceiling, so we put, like, a hook in the ceiling.
But it's not too big for our house.
No, it's not too big. And
we needed a bigger tree so that we could cut it in half.
Right. So he's talking about next year's plans, but...
No, this year!
Anyway, the thing hangs from the tree, hangs upside down from the ceiling, so the pointy part is at the bottom. So we've got it set up. The pointy part ends about 3 feet off the ground, so there's all kinds of room for presents and stuff underneath it, and it goes up to the ceiling. And anyway, it's cool. I will post a picture of it on abelsmay.com on Christmas Day, probably. Anyway, it's cool. I like it. It's cool. Very appropriate to our family because it's odd and different and weird.
Yeah, that's about you guys.
The thing that my son wants to do with it is actually cut it in half and put half of the tree on one side of the room, and then for those of you who may be familiar with the video game Portal, put the portals on so it looks like the tree is going through a portal on one side of the room and coming out on the other side of the room. So anyway, that would be cool too. We'll consider it at some point. But for now, we've got the upside down tree, and I think that's cool.
Yep.
That's another upside down tree.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait a minute. We still have more work to do after the tree.
What's that?
For presents.
Oh, yeah, we have to do presents.
I haven't hung on the ceiling yet.
No, we're not going to hang the presents on the ceiling.
Why not?
I guess you could get
a bag or something, hang it from the ceiling, and then put the presents in there, and so they're hanging from the ceiling.
Like a piñata.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll take all the presents, and then we'll smack them with a stick until they fall down.
Swine.
That would probably break them, but, you know, okay.
Well, sure. But then you get more, right? Like, if you've got the one thing and you hit it enough times and you smash it into 100 smaller things, now you've got 100.
So you've got more gifts, right? That means that, right, you multiply your gifts. I guess that's a strategy, sure. Yeah. Okay, no problem. You know, make sure to put a video. We can post it on Facebook and YouTube and, you know. Of you guys smashing all your presents.
Anyway, we're going to take a break now. We will come back. Yvonne will tell us all about his visit to Moscow and everything he has learned about Moscow, Russia, and whether or not he found the P-tape. We'll be back right after this.
This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right, an opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you will definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show.
Okay.
Ron singing again.
It's not the Thomas song this time.
No, it's not the Thomas song this time. Of course, last week I had all this like Hunt for Red October kind of music going through my head as I'm going through Russia. Now it's different music here.
So, Yvonne, we are back. Tell us about your trip.
Okay. So, I think the expectations I had of Moscow was that it was, I expected it to still be more stodgy and old as the images that we all have.
You're thinking
of the Soviet time.
Soviet Union.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm sure that there were people with more money and whatever, but, you know, it's like, I mean, there's been capitalism, but I still had those images. I didn't realize, for example, at first, when I booked the ticket, I realized that I'm not flying into Sheremetyevo. They had built a brand new airport outside. Well, that airport existed for a long time, but it became privatized and they expanded it massively. And they built a very modern terminal, this place called Domodedovo, something like that. I could never pronounce it right.
Excellent.
So I landed there, which is a, you know, extremely modern facility that they had there, and I was picked up at the airport. It was, you know, very cold. The place is, I mean, I did not see the sun any day that I was there, and it snowed every day.
So
that I was there.
Everybody here who is not an Yvonne Bo Facebook friend, you should realize that pretty much every day, at least once a day, maybe twice a day, Yvonne was posting something complaining about the cold and the snow in Moscow in December. Like you were expecting a sauna?
I knew that was the fact, but look, I didn't go there on vacation. I went there for work. So, you know, I had not much of a choice. I had a decision I had to make about what's happening there before the end of this year. Okay? So I couldn't really like push it off like into the summer. But they tell me that August is great.
But that's
August. We're in frickin', you know, December. So I had to go there to do what I needed to do before the end of the year. So I went there, and yes, I was constantly bitching and moaning because I think when I saw the original weather forecast, I don't think it said – I'm pretty sure it didn't say snow. It was snowing. I mean, every damn day. I had to clean my shoes. There was slush all over the place. Look, now, these people, look, I'm like right now in Texas, where apparently they're expecting snow today and tomorrow. And I heard snow is expected in Atlanta and a whole bunch of places, okay? Look, those places become paralyzed when a few flakes hit, right? Look, over there, it's like nothing, man. I mean, that place is just so used to that. They're always, I mean, that snow is getting, you know, pushed off. They're spraying shit. They're doing stuff. I mean, it was snowing every day, and they don't get fazed by that in terms of their transportation or anything like
that.
Well,
how does that compare? I mean, you've lived in places that get snow in the winter before. You lived in Pittsburgh. You lived in northern Indiana.
It's worse. It's worse. It is just worse. Their weather is the worst, okay, of any of those places. They have the most miserable fucking weather of any damn place I have been to. Okay, just beyond, they are the worst.
One of the comments you made, I believe, in our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack was, now you understand why the Russians are so grumpy all the time.
Oh, fuck yeah. Jesus Christ. Are you kidding? Who wouldn't be with this fucking weather? My God, it's miserable as all hell. It's awful. But here's the thing, okay? Look, the expectation, right? I get into the city. Look, there's more Four Seasons, Ritz-Carlton, Starbucks. Look, there is, right beside the Kremlin, is the Ritz-Carlton, the very famous Ritz-Carlton that we have all talked about. And right beside that one is a Four Seasons hotel, okay? Right in front of the Duma, okay? The chamber for you know, their parliament, okay? That they got over there, whatever the hell it's called, okay? So they're like, you know, and Starbucks. My God, those people love Starbucks. There's Starbucks all over the fucking place. And dude, Apple, are you kidding me? Look, I mean, they love their damn iPhones. Whether it's iPhones, Apple, listen, and the other thing, I tell you, I've been to a lot of cities. The only place that I've seen more luxury cars in a city than Moscow was Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's about it. Mercedes, Porsche, one Porsche after another. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, man, these people have got money. And the place is expensive as all hell. Everything was expensive. I mean, every meal was very expensive in dollars. It was like that. I just did not expect it to be that out front, you know, the level, I mean, of luxury, the level of expensive, like every restaurant, every place. I mean, it was just like that. I guess the one thing that when I did go and visit the Kremlin for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So if
you
any
have,
of you that
have to go to Red Square, right? I mean, you can't go to Moscow and not do that.
I mean, God knows if I'll be back again. I'm like, look, I said, if I got here, and it was on Friday night, the day before I left, I said, because the rest of the days I'd been busy with meetings, work, going, so forth. But that night, I'm like, no, I gotta go there and see this, right? So I went over there and. And the one thing, for those of you who read on Moscow as it used to be in Soviet times, the big department store that was there right beside the Kremlin, there was this very big department store called GUM, which is basically it looked like a mall where, I don't know, there was just a whole bunch of stores, and basically you could get whatever the Soviet crap that was available, which they told me it was all junk that was available. There was nothing really available. And so in it, they had all these restaurants, and the restaurants didn't even have names. They were like restaurant stand number one, restaurant stand number two, food stand number. I mean, they didn't even have names like that, okay? But now, you know, what is it, 25 years later? Bulgari, Hugo Boss, Cartier, it's all turned into a freaking complete luxury retail mall. Hmm. That's what it is. That was the old Soviet like store. They even left some of the signs, you know, just so you see where, you know, where it was. That's what that's turned into. Okay.
So
here's the bottom line to the impressions I got. I'll go to the impressions I got from people. Look, here's a main thing that I've realized, the main realization after being there in person. Putin's not going anywhere. The man is not going anywhere, and the main reason is because.
Did anybody think he was going to? I mean, he's been.
No. But what I'm saying is, even forget it. Even like not him leaving, but. There isn't the people there are not going to. There's not going to be massive protests in the streets to get this guy out, and it's not because
he's insanely
oppressed. Exactly, but he's insanely popular. The reason he's insanely popular is because to them, we sucked. We had nothing. This country was a mess. He organized it. He gives jobs. We have Mercedes. We have money. Fuck this. I'm not going back to that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And in terms of repression, the repression that he does is not not as blunt as the Chinese. You have access to practically everything. The New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, they're not firewalled off like in China. None of that. you know, the only one that I was surprised that you couldn't get access to was LinkedIn.
Okay.
Now I found out that the reason it was that LinkedIn you had no access is because they had passed a law a couple of years ago that any company like that that did business in Russia had to store the data on servers that were physically located in Russia. And LinkedIn opted not to do that. And so they cut off the access.
Okay.
So, but that's about it. I mean, in terms of, you know, you turn on the TV, they see CNN. What they tell me is that, you know, on the flip side, there's a lot of propaganda on TV for him in all the Russia channels.
Right.
Okay. I mean, they do that, but it's not at the level. I was at Venezuela when Hugo Chavez was in power, and it's not to that level. I mean, Hugo Chavez was sitting down on TV talking all the time himself. And there are posters of him all over the place, okay, and all over town. There's nothing like that of Putin. It's softer coverage. It's not him being out there. It's you know, it's the press and everybody talking positively about the things he do. Well, the other thing that they told me in the press that they cover a lot, it's like the main thing that's happening over there is the situation in the Middle East and Syria. They keep covering that over and over again. You know, it's just because of their involvement there, and I guess that just to him, I think it's something in order to
and presumably increase from a national different spin
for
than
nationalism
here usually.
Totally, yes, absolutely. But you know, I think the one thing is the other thing is that he, unlike a lot of other countries that were very dependent on oil, and their economies got into a lot of trouble when the oil prices crashed, like Venezuela, for example. The people that Putin has installed to manage the economy have done a pretty decent job of managing through that and managing through the sanctions. The sanctions, you know, aren't just to specific people. The sanctions, for example, one thing that it doesn't allow is certain companies, for example, to go and borrow abroad in dollars as they used to be able to for some big capital projects. And there's other financial restrictions and other things and whatever. And in some of my conversations, that topic came up. So that was something that is present in their minds that they have to deal with.
Let me just back up a little bit on sanctions. I mean, obviously, you were there on business. Sanctions wasn't stopping that, right? I mean,
it doesn't stop that, but there are, there are certain things that you have to watch in terms of financial transactions, who you're doing business with, what companies are limited to do, how they can raise capital, and so forth. I know I had some issues with like getting some credit card transactions processed occasionally, but you know, hell, they even have Apple Pay over there, for God's sakes, all over the place, which they don't have in a few other countries I visited. So, you know, but they have that. I mean, the one last thing that, you know, probably stuck to my mind, they're laughing their asses off at us. And this whole Trump thing.
Okay.
The comment specifically was, well, what the hell? Our hackers are so good. They fucking elected your president.
So are they laughing at it?
Yes.
So they're laughing that we're
idiots.
But they're laughing
at it from the point that we're idiots.
Right. But in what way are we idiots? Are we idiots because we let them manipulate us?
We're idiots. Yes.
Or are we idiots because this Russia shit is nothing and it's bullshit?
No. Because we let them manipulate us. Yes.
So they all believe this is absolutely true, that like Russia
100%.
Did set up this and Russia 100%. Does control Trump and all this kind of stuff.
I don't know about the control Trump, but what they do believe is that they definitely exerted significant influence in order to make sure that Trump was in power. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so they're making fun of us for falling for it, essentially.
Yes. That stung. I will say. It's funny, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, God. Yeah, they're right. Motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. So we're so stunned. And we have so many gullible people in this country who don't get it.
So any other particular insights on anything? Did you find the P-tape, Yvonne?
No, you talk to the hackers? Unfortunately, my mission failed on those accounts. I apologize for the failure of my mission.
Did you talk to any hackers?
No, actually. Not at least knowingly. Okay, let me take that back. Not at least knowingly.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So you're saying the hotels were full of people.
Well, I'm saying that because... Well, yes. I mean, there were some women that were present that I don't know if, you know, perhaps they were. Who knows? But if I spoke to one, it was not knowingly.
It's like the Silicon Valley thing where they're hiring models to come into the holiday party.
Exactly. It's kind of like that. Yes. So I will say that if that was happening, I you know, you're like, look, is this just some really, you know, good looking woman that's just strolling through the lobby in the bar at the hotel or whatever? Or is it, you know, or are they, you know, I was not in town to investigate that area of business. So therefore, I did not inquire about those services. So.
You didn't ask for the Donald Trump special.
I did not ask for Donald Trump special. No, I didn't call the front desk for that. No.
Okay. Final thoughts on Russia, or let's wrap it up.
I guess the main thing is that I think that I think I will say that I misunderstood to a certain extent how far Russia has really advanced economically under Putin. And to what level? And I think that I thought it was more in line with like some places like in Latin America, more like that. And they are further ahead economically.
Well, and
than
on this
a lot
show,
of those countries.
When we've had our annual prediction shows in the past, and we're going to do one again pretty soon. One of the things you'd said before about Russia was, you know, how screwed they were because of the oil prices and sanctions and everything else.
And I thought because everybody else had been so hammered by it that I thought that they wouldn't be able to sustain it. The reality is that after I've looked at what's going on and learned more about it, I'm going to say that I have been wrong and I will not be making that prediction again.
Okay. Okay, let's take a break, and we will come back and talk about the various Trump scandals and how they may relate to Russia or other things, and just the updates in the crazy Trump world from the last week or so. I don't know. There's scandal stuff, but there's also, like, as usual, I mean, we say this most weeks, but there were lots and lots of things going on this week that we're not talking about as well. But we'll talk about some Trump stuff after this. After this. I keep saying after this. We'll be right back. Do. Thank you, Alex.
Celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, we are back. Yvonne.
Stuff
happened. Let me go through my list and try to figure out like some of these in sort of the order they happened. First of all, we had this tweet right after we recorded last week's show, really, where Trump apparently admitted to obstruction in a tweet where he referenced essentially knowing about. Knowing about Flynn lying to the FBI prior to him putting pressure on various people about letting Flynn go and then firing the FBI director. But then it was like, well, it wasn't Trump. It was Trump's lawyer who tweeted that. And
I still don't believe it. Not for one second. That was written by Trump. It's in Trump's style. It's idiotic. There is no lawyer on earth that would have ever created a tweet like that, okay? I mean, even the worst lawyer on earth wouldn't have done that.
It's like if they were going to pin it on somebody else, why the lawyer? Why not like his social media director or somebody, you know?
Oh, whoever, whatever.
But
I mean, yeah.
But so we don't think the lawyer put out that tweet, because isn't that what, you know, lawyers do, is tweet for you?
Right. That's what. Yeah, sure.
No, lawyers,
you know what lawyers do? Lawyers tell you to shut the fuck up. That's what they tell you.
Uh-huh.
Don't say a word.
Yeah.
Number one thing a lawyer will tell you.
I don't think Donald listens to that.
No.
But here's the thing, too. Even if the lawyer had drafted the statement, even if the lawyer was the one who hit the button, as a real Donald Trump tweet, it is Donald Trump taking responsibility for that statement. It becomes Donald Trump's statement, unless he disavowed.
Correct.
Unless he disavowed and said, hey, that was an unauthorized tweet. It shouldn't have come out.
No, he's trying to make it sound like, oh, I'm getting all this great advice, and this was revealed. You know, I think because a lot of people that are in his camp, sometimes I think they, even a whole bunch of them, they don't like him tweeting, but he's trying to make it sound like, oh, yeah, I did this under the advice of my attorneys. This is all well planned. You know, don't worry, people. This is part of my master plan, the master communicator plan thing, whatever.
Yeah, not buying it.
No,
it's like this tweet came out and everybody was immediately like, well, here we have yet another example of Trump just saying something that flat out incriminates him. I mean, if you remember the interview that he had, I think, was it NBC, shortly after he fired, Comey?
Right.
Where he basically said, oh, yeah, it was because of Russia.
Completely the statement. Right. Yeah.
Completely contradicting his previous statement, completely saying it was because of Russia, that he was going to do it anyway, regardless. And it's like, this is exactly the kind of stuff that, you know, is Mueller's going to be sticking in a report somewhere, you know?
Right. Of course.
Obviously Mueller wasn't appointed yet at the time of that NBC interview, but he is now. And right. It all comes into the portfolio. And it seems like over and over and over again, Trump or people on Trump's staff or his family are just like blurting out things that on its own is like, You're right up to the edge of just flat out admitting a crime right there, and just daring them to actually do something about it.
Which is why I don't understand why he. I mean, look, I know the guy just can't shut up. The guy just can't shut up. That's just the way he is. He just can't shut up. And so he'll just continue blurting out all this nonsense until, I guess, eventually he'll just say, "I did it. I'm guilty." I think at some point. It's going to be like that scene in that movie, the one with, I gave him the code red!
I don't have no idea. You don't remember this movie? About. No idea.
The people who are listening will know.
Okay. So then we had, speaking of Donald Trump's lawyers and things that they're saying, another one was talking about whether or not the president can even obstruct justice. So the people in Donald Trump's orbit, including his lawyers, but other people too, have sort of moved on. And you've seen this happen over time, from it didn't happen to, well, maybe it did happen, but it's not that bad, to, you know, in the end, maybe it did happen and it was completely fine. You know,
right.
And so
it's always migrating, you know, in some way, you know, right.
Yeah. So we but it always starts out with, no, it didn't happen. That would never happen. We would never have done that. That's crazy, crazy talk. And then as the evidence comes in, it's like, oh, well, yeah, maybe it did happen, but it's cool. It's a good thing.
Right, it's all good. Cool, you know, yeah, it's fine. We you know, it's okay if we conspired with the foreign government to interfere in our elections. Yes, of course, absolutely. You know, yes.
And
yes.
Well,
and we conspired to take stolen material from the Democratic National Party, and, you know, to share it, you know, at appropriate times in order to undermine the campaign of their campaign, kind of like what Nixon was trying to do when he broke into Watergate. But hey, you know, it's not the same thing, because we didn't break in there. We hacked it. It was through the pipes.
So specifically in terms of obstruction of justice, the argument that is now going around is it is the president cannot obstruct justice because it is his job to be in charge of the federal government, including the Justice Department. And therefore, it is within his prerogatives to ask any question he wants about anything going on in the Justice Department to indicate his preferences.
No, that is a bunch of horseshit.
He can indicate his preferences. He can decide who to investigate and who not to. So it would be perfectly within his rights.
Listen, the
to just shut all this
general
down.
Can be. I'm sorry. That is just the most horseshit argument I've ever heard in my life. I mean, the Attorney General of the United States can be guilty of obstruction of justice. Anybody at any position in there can be guilty of obstruction of justice. To say that statement is positively absurd.
Right. I mean, look, the thing is, what makes it absurd is sort of what the implications of that would be. And, you know, there are certain premises in law that, like, are okay, even if it hasn't been explicitly written down XYZ, if you follow this, it leads to an absurd conclusion, and therefore that can't possibly be the right way to interpret it. Now, you're going to get legal arguments on all that kind of stuff, and there's precedent involved, etc. Now, the precedent seems to be fairly clear that, yes, the president can obstruct justice. Now, it may not be an indictable crime. There's a second question we'll talk about in a second about how can the president be indicted.
Oh, that's a different story. Right, exactly. That's a different story.
But,
right.
You know, both what was going on with Nixon and what was going on with Clinton, part of what was being considered for their impeachment proceedings were obstruction of justice. It's clear that even if, you know, you can make an argument that the president can't be indicted because they're the president, that's a separate issue. Obstruction of justice is a real thing, and yes, the president can do it. Now, there are complicated arguments there, like if the president is just exercising their powers granted to them under the Constitution, so can you say that the president was obstructing justice by firing Comey? It is an interesting question, like, because I think you could make
it depends on it depends on the reason why
It depends on the reason and the details. But I think you could say, for instance, telling Comey, please don't go after Flynn, there's a clearer case there than the firing, because the firing is
correct.
Part of his prerogatives.
Right, the firing, right, exactly.
You know, now there's also, though, now if you started pardoning people, if tonight, as we're recording this show, we start getting news alerts saying that, you know, Trump just pardoned Manafort and everybody who's been indicted so far, pardoned Flynn, preemptively pardoned his sons, whatever, you know, or Kushner. Can that be obstruction of justice? He's engaging in his constitutional power of pardon. And I think the answer is yes. If you are using your lawfully granted pardon in a corrupt way, that is still a problem. But there would be real arguments there and there's statutory questions about which things apply and which don't. Now, I think it's clearly impeachable no matter what, because impeachment is a purely political thing. The Congress,
correct.
If the Congress felt like it, they could impeach for anything they want. Practically.
Absolutely. Yep.
I mean, high crimes and misdemeanors is not well defined. And there's very little precedent on it. And the Supreme Court would be very unlikely to want to intervene. Like, you know, if the Congress actually did impeach and remove a president, and then the president sued saying it wasn't a high crime and misdemeanor, the Supreme Court would be like, leave us the fuck out of this.
That's not within our, you know, I would think that they would like say, you know, they would like dismiss it because I'm like, look, that's part of the constitutional division of power.
There are extremes, of course, like if Congress impeached and removed a president because one day he wore a green shirt. you know, basically clearly just they impeached and removed him because they didn't like him, period. No real reason. Maybe the Supreme Court would chime in, but even there, they'd be reluctant, right? You know, because if you if you have the series of events that led to that, it would be kind of crazy, right? I mean, if that kind of thing started happening, by the way, we're in such a deep constitutional crisis. We are so
Exactly. We're so screwed. I'm like, I'm already like, you know, I'm moving to Sweden and I don't give a shit how bad the weather
is. If we get to the point where it is just normal and routine that, for instance, every time the president is a different party than the Congress and Congress has a 2/3 majority, it's just automatically they remove him. Well, that would be a really bad state to be in, right?
Yeah, that would really suck.
Anyway, so the other question I mentioned is, can the president even be indicted of a crime? And there has been, this also has not been fully tested all the way in court, but precedent so far seems to be that they don't want to indict the president for anything while he's in office. The intention is, if there's really something that serious, impeachment is the right mechanism to deal with it. And then if they have been removed from office, then at that point, maybe you charge them for crimes. At least with federal crimes, maybe with other, I mean, we've got precedent of, you know, civil suits against presidents that basically they said, hey, you got to wait until they're not president anymore and then you can do this. I mean, right. and but not always. I mean, it's been inconsistent. So I don't think it's absolutely clear what would happen, and the exact circumstances might make a difference. But there certainly seems to be a deference where they would rather not indict a sitting president. This is what impeachment is for.
Right. I think that's my understanding of it, too. That's why that's why impeachment was created. I mean, I would think that the crimes would have to be brought to Congress and Congress would have to take the proper action regarding the criminality. So, you know, I would hope. You know?
I mean, there's again, there's a lot of leeway in the situation. What are the politics of it? I mean, you can forget about what's actually happening with Trump today and what crimes he may or may not have committed. Imagine a scenario where, you know, Trump did what he said in the campaign. Like, he leaves the White House one day and goes and shoots a few people and then just comes back to the White House. You know,
I think that at that point he would have to be impeached. And then I think first he could be impeached for that immediately, but after the impeachment, I think he could be charged.
Well, after the impeachment, but imagine the scenario.
He's not in office.
Let's not even say it's Trump. Let's say some future president, you know, goes and, mm-hmm. you know, does what the Las Vegas shooter did. Can anybody arrest him on the spot? Impeachment takes months. What the hell do you do in that time frame? Do you remove them under the 25th Amendment?
Well, it doesn't really. Months. I mean, why? Listen.
Initial removal would be a lot faster. But what if the people he killed was the cabinet?
Right.
The Constitution is not meant to protect against these scenarios.
Complicated.
The Constitution is basically, and this is one of the problems that we're seeing.
But I think they could move quickly to impeach if the two.
Yeah, you're right. If we had a scenario where the president went out with
I mean, if they wanted to move quickly, that was like crazy like that, and shot Sessions, say, for example. I mean, he hates them anyway, right? I shoot Sessions and Tillerson. He hates both, right? Go bam, bam. Right in the Oval Office.
Uh-huh. On live TV.
Takes a revolver from one of the, you know... Yeah, what the hell?
No, I mean, my point is just that, like, the institutions defined in the Constitution for dealing with these kinds of things all have a baseline of assuming everybody within the system is operating within good faith. You know, it starts to break down when you have the various parties...
A psychopath. Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's not the impeachment process.
It's not meant to handle psychos.
No. Yeah, I gotcha. If anything like that happened, you would have chaos. You would have things happen that technically are not institutional, but nobody would give a fuck because somebody would do the right thing anyway. Like, if you did have a president, and again, I don't want to talk about Trump and Pence specifically, but if you had a president start going wild and start killing people, then, you know, you would have...
Secret Service agent would probably pull out his rally, started shooting people, kill him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. And even if they didn't,
yes,
somebody would take him into custody and say, I'm sorry, the vice president is now president. You know, I don't care
exactly
what the legalities of it. We'll worry about that later. The president is now in custody. He's in a jail cell and he can no longer be president. And then we'll figure it out. However we need to figure it out, we'll figure it
wouldn't
out.
Wouldn't he be under the what which is the one, the one where if a president say like, what's the one that invokes the VP if he's incapacitated?
That's the 25th.
Yeah, but I thought there was another one happened with not removing him.
That's all in the 25th Amendment. There are a couple different sections about temporary bereavement.
The 25th Amendment also includes that. Okay, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yes.
It deals with all that. Anyway.
But I think,
let's move on because we've gotten way into fantasy land. This is one of my things. For those of you who haven't listened long enough, I like exploring constitutional edge cases that are just completely out there and nuts.
They're fun to discuss.
They're fun to discuss, and they are not necessarily relevant to what's going on today. Other scandal type stuff that's happened, or just like Trump related stuff. Let's just broaden it up. So other Trump stuff, Supreme Court allowed the full enforcement of the travel ban. Any thoughts on that?
Not at the moment. No, not really.
Okay. I think you and I talked like as the new iterations of the travel ban came up, most of the really outrageous, crazy stuff, like kept getting removed. I mean, we can still disagree with it on a policy point of view, but all the arguments that the president was doing something beyond what their allowed powers was sort of started falling away. Like we can say this is stupid, this is a ridiculous policy, this isn't a policy that is the right policy, but we can no longer really say this is something the president is not allowed to do.
Right. Exactly. They, correct. So that's why I'm like, whatever.
Okay.
I'm like, it's not like a whatever. I mean, it's going to go to the Supreme Court again. We'll see what happens to the final decision on it. But, you know.
Yeah. Next up is Manafort apparently violated his parole by trying to write an op-ed along with somebody else that was specifically intended to paint himself in a positive light. To potentially influence juries and everything else like that. And Mueller caught him and went to court and said, you know, hey, judge, look at what this guy is doing. And initially, the only action they've asked was a restraining order on him actually working to get this thing published. But a couple hours before we started recording here, it was actually published in a
Ukrainian paper. They were trying to revoke his... Right.
Yeah,
they were trying to revoke his
bail agreement.
You know, bail. Yeah.
Well, right. But they hadn't gone so far as to say we want him actually in jail now.
Right.
But he was trying to get a deal to get the ankle bracelet off, and I think that's gone now. I think you know he's.
Yeah, there's no fucking way. Yeah, there's no fucking way they're taking that damn thing off.
But you know, this is again one of those things where they just can't fucking help themselves. Manafort has been indicted.
I mean, Manafort
is awaiting trial. He's under house arrest.
Manafort thinks, listen, Manafort thinks he's invincible. I really do. I think he thinks he's going to beat this whole thing. I think he really believes it. He's been reckless and crazy. I mean, you read his profile for forever doing shit like this. I think he thinks he's going to get out of this one too. I really do.
I mean, it's, you know, I don't even know if it if it goes that far in the thought process. I think it's just like the whole notion of maybe I shouldn't do this because it's not allowed. That part of his brain is just missing.
No, he has nothing of that in his brain at all. This man has no conscience at all of any sort whatsoever. No. Or any shame, which is why I think Trump liked him.
Yeah. So anyway, man, I would love to see like some of the, look, you know, and this points out a difference in general between white collar crime and other crime. Like if this was like some black guy from the hood charged with, you know, holding up a liquor store, they wouldn't be out on fucking bail.
There was a guy from Volkswagen today.
Yeah.
An executive that was involved in this diesel scandal. And the guy has been in jail. They brought him to the damn court for the sentencing in shackles. He's a freaking executive.
Well,
you know,
they're doing it better there than we do here.
You know, what I'm saying, this was here in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
No, this was here in the U.S. And so I don't understand
why the hell these
criteria
guys are.
Is.
Yeah.
Why would Manafort not be in his orange jumpsuit and, you know, in shackles, whereas this other guy is?
Maybe the other guy couldn't afford his bail. I don't know. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean,
they denied his bail because they thought he was a flight risk. Well, he's a German citizen. Okay. Was caught. He was stopped at the airport at the moment that he was leaving the country. Not that he had been arrested or he knew it was anything. I mean, the FBI, was looking for him and he flew to the U.S. on vacation and he was at Miami International about to fly back and they nabbed him right there. And charged them.
But yes.
So,
but
you know,
the point holds, this is entirely inconsistent, in terms of who has to wait in jail and who doesn't. And I understand, okay, you don't expect him to, like, he's not going to necessarily be going out and murdering other people or anything like that. That's not what he's charged for. You don't think he's an imminent danger to anybody. But at the same time, it seems like, let them stay at their house and give them an exception so they can go see their family at Thanksgiving and blah 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 blah.
Right. I don't get it.
Even if you just leave it to nonviolent crimes, there are a lot of people like rotting in jail for selling marijuana. Meanwhile, what Manafort is accused of is arguably worse in some ways.
Worse?
So.
In many ways, yes.
So, anyway. Manafort, obstructing, we talked about obstruction justice. There was this thing about Eric Prince and Ollie North making
a proposal
for a private intelligence force that the CIA director could rely on because they can't rely on the actual CIA because it's deep state and they don't trust it and blah, blah, blah. Now, apparently this proposal did not go forward, but the mere fact that they're entertaining.
But the fact that they're discussing it is nuts.
Yes. And also, just to point out, I mean, last week, Bud McFarland was in the news as well.
Exactly.
What do we have? These goddamn Iran-Contra people.
Right.
Like, are crawling out of the woodwork.
Well, look, the next guy who you're going to see around the White House, I think, is probably D.G. Gordon Liddy at this rate.
Oh, I'm shocked. Is he alive? He's still alive,
is,
right?
Is he?
I mean, he definitely was a few years ago.
Yeah, he's been around, but I don't know if he's dead. Okay, hold on. Double checking now. G. Gordo.
No, he's alive.
Not a robot. Why?
He's alive, but he's 87.
Yeah.
He's 87, but he's alive.
We
have had Kissinger. You know? Kissinger's been at the goddamn White House with Trump. You know, so, look, all of these people are crawling out of the woodwork.
These other people were pulling out. I mean, you know, fucking, it's like, hell, man.
It's like, yeah. I mean, when we saw Bud McFarlane in the news a couple weeks ago on the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, I was like, you know, just watch. We're going to have Ollie North any second now. And then the next
and
week,
then boom, and then you have right, Ollie North. You were right. You nailed it.
It's like, really? Really? Because Ollie North is the gravitas you bring to this fucking project. And yes, because exactly what we need is a goddamn private intelligence service that reports directly to the president instead of going through...
That is accountable to no one. That's just going to go around and murder people, you know, whenever they want. Right. This is great. Great idea.
And they were also making a proposal for a private force to take over everything in Afghanistan as well.
Right.
Because I'm sure that's going to be...
Awesome. That's Eric Prince. Yeah, that won't cause any problems.
We had the announcement about moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem.
Yeah, but then I understood that somewhere in the same day he signed something in which he basically also at the same time pushed off actually moving it.
Yes, he did.
Indefinitely.
It's every 6 months.
What the fuck?
There's a certification that has to be signed by the president every 6 months because there was a congressional law passed a long time ago that said the U.S. Embassy will move to Jerusalem unless the president signs a waiver every 6 months saying it would not be a good idea right now. So every six right. months, the president has to sign a waiver to not do this. So what happened this time was the president made a big speech about how we were moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Now was the time to do it. Pissed off a lot of people and then signed the thing to defer it for another 6 months anyway.
Right.
So in effect... Right.
He said it, but not now.
He didn't actually do anything.
Do it.
And right. there's so much, like, around Donald Trump that follows this pattern where it's just it's just sound and fury signifying nothing, you know, to do the quote, you know, where he'll spin up all kinds of stuff and throw flak into the air and try to make an impression, but actually not do the action that would actually make anything happen. But in the meantime, he's, you know, his own, the part of his base that cares about this is all excited about it. Meanwhile, you know, the Palestinians are horrified by it, you know. But it also appears to be the case that it's not as apocalyptic as maybe some people would have you believe, because countries like Saudi Arabia are sort of like already past this. They're like, yeah, this is no longer the big issue for us that it was a couple decades ago, whatever, you know, basically. So that really...
The thing is that this didn't help anything. It doesn't help anything. All his advisors told him it's a bad idea, that it doesn't do anything, that the best case is that it's going to create, you know, it's going to create problems for us more than it helps anything. And so, you know, but you go against your advisors and you do this thing where you do a whole bunch of like fucking huff and puff. And then at the same time, you sign postponing it anyway.
Well, and just to be clear, to be absolutely clear, the capital of Israel is Jerusalem. That's what they have determined for themselves. This is a question of diplomatic recognition of that fact, and no country in the world has recognized Israel's choice of capital, even though it's Israel's choice of capital, because the Palestinians want their capital to be in Jerusalem too, and this was always viewed as something that when you do have some sort of final peace settlement between the Palestinians and Israelis, a major part of that agreement is going to be what the fuck to do with Jerusalem. And so, you know, basically the whole world doesn't want to get into that question until that happens, you know, until there's some sort of agreement here. And
all right.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because we are running short on time. Okay. All right. We need to take a quick detour, okay, break, and we'll come back and talk very briefly about
Ivan has to go first. Before we actually hit the break, I'm just going to list these other things. We also had KT McFarlane lying to Congress. We had the whole thing with the tax bill. Well, that's going to be going on for a few weeks, so we'll talk about it again another time.
That's a mess, like right now. So
yeah, we had an issue with Mueller's investigation where there was one agent who was fired a few months ago, apparently because they were making anti-Trump tweets, and there's a whole thing about that and how much of Mueller's office is actually anti-Trump. There is the Time Person of the Year, of course. Well, that's more other stuff, but Trump wanted to be that. We had Mueller apparently subpoenaing financial records from Deutsche Bank, which seems fairly significant. Right. We have Donald Trump Jr. claiming attorney-client privilege in front of the Congress simply because there was an attorney in the room at the time a conversation was happening.
Which is moronic because actually having a third party during a conversation with an attorney actually negates the privilege. So that there is no such fucking thing. He's a complete utter moron.
Right. I saw a great tweet that was like, you know, Donald Trump Jr., I claim attorney-client privilege. Somebody says, that doesn't apply here. Executive privilege? That doesn't apply here. White privilege? Anyway, and there were a bunch of additional new leaks of Trump-Russia emails related to one thing or another. And the one that I want to call out, one of the ones that leaked, CNN made a big deal about it because it appeared to imply that somebody had sent access to WikiLeaks documents before they were otherwise public. But then it turned out the CNN had the date wrong. They thought it was the 4th of the month, and it was really the 14th of the month.
Which means
that the link actually was sent to them after the documents were already public. So it was just some random guy emailing to say, hey, look at this, when it was already out there. It wasn't some sort of secret pre-knowledge. And so, you know, CNN got that wrong. And this is, again, one of those things where, hey, guys,
there's enough real stuff here.
Be fucking careful.
Well, here's the thing. They went and they said that actually multiple people had confirmed the date, okay, and they had gone through their vetting process to make sure it was accurate. And so they're trying to determine what the heck – I mean, was somebody playing them? Because they went and they verified it with multiple sources, and multiple sources verified the date. So they're – that was the statement I heard about that this afternoon. Yeah,
we'll see. Okay, now let's take that break. We will come back and we will try to quickly do Frank and Conyers, Moore and Franks, all of those folks, back after this.
Do. Hello, this is Emma. I'm here to let you know about Sam the Curmudgeon's other podcasts, the Wiki of the Day podcasts. Wiki of the Day comes in three varieties, popular, random, and featured. Each highlights a new Wikipedia article each day. They just pick the articles differently. This week on Featured Wiki of the Day, you would have heard this summary for Ermataibo. Ermataibo, perfected spelling, Ermataibo, Malay for A Mother's Tears, is a 1941 film from the Dutch East Indies, now Indonesia, directed and written by Niu Chong Seng. Starring Fifi Young, Rhode Ismail, Ali Sarraza, and Ali Joago. It followed a mother who raises her children lovingly but is ultimately betrayed by her eldest sons when she falls upon hard times. The film, billed as a musical extravaganza, featured a soundtrack by Arcos Beanie, and an eponymous title song written by Niu. The last production completed by Fred Young's Majestic Film Company, Ermataibo, was released in December 1941, shortly before the Japanese occupation of the Dutch East Indies. This film, now possibly lost, received positive reviews. A remake was produced under the same title in 1957. Young retook her role. That's all there is to it. See? Fun, entertaining, educational. And short. Okay, now look for and subscribe to the Wiki of the Day family of podcasts on your podcast playing software of choice, or just go to wikioftheday.com to check out our archives. Now back to Curmudgeon's Corner. Do.
Okay, we are back, and Yvonne has to go soon to catch a flight. So, Frank is out. Or he's not actually out. Yeah,
and
he said he will.
But he announced he's going to be out. Yeah.
Although there are a bunch of people saying that he's delaying it in the hopes that maybe this can blow over and he can undo his resignation before he makes it official.
I don't think that's it. But the one thing is, I do understand why he's upset about. I do believe that some of the accusations that are out there are probably not true, in large part because it seems like Roger Stone and his fucking cronies have been people that have been like, you know, turning people, you know, pushing people to talk. But the first person did so through apparently through him. So. I think that I understand Frank. Franken, I think, admitted that some of the stuff is true, but at the same time,
he actually in his
in his
statement resigning, he actually said some people misinterpreted my original statement as an admission of guilt. It wasn't. So he says that he doesn't remember these the same way. Some of them he thinks are flat out lies. What he wanted was this to go to the ethics committee for a full out investigation. Because frankly, it seems like he thinks he would have been vindicated in that process. But regardless,
that's what he thinks.
But there were 8 different accusers, and even if some of them were suspicious, there were others. Now, you know, and this ties into conversations we've had multiple weeks of like, you know. Okay, are there different levels of offenses here? There's a little bit different between what, you know, Franken's, you know, been accused of grabbing a few people in inappropriate ways. Some of these other folks we're talking about are accused of much more serious things, and are we all treating him the same? So Franken was pissed, and Franken's like, yeah, I'm leaving because, you know, it's become untenable. I essentially have to. But, you know, at the same time, we may be electing Roy Moore in a couple weeks to come in here, who's done much worse.
Right. Exactly. But I think what he's doing is probably the right thing to do at this point. Anyway, for.
Well,
OK, in time. Sorry. Next. You got to go. Next person. Franks. Wasn't Franks the guy, the moron? He said apparently that. What was the deal? Did he say he was resigning? Because apparently, like I suspected, he went. He said that he was trying to get a surrogate mom for a baby, and I said, "No, surrogate mom, my ass." He was trying to fuck her and like get her pregnant, so carry a baby. And apparently, that's what it came out. That apparently, yes.
Apparently, he was talking about the surrogate motherhood, but it was interpreted by the people he was talking to that he did not want to do it with, you know, modern technology. He wanted to do it the old fashioned way.
He wanted to do it old fashioned way, right? Okay, dude. Okay.
So, and Conyers is also leaving due to his accusations. But apparently, it's going to be a race between his son and another relative of his in terms of who replaces him.
There's nobody. Actually, they said that the election is not going to be for 11 months. I'm sure somebody else will try to. I mean, he's endorsing those.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But doesn't mean that, you know, let's see who the hell goes in a primary and.
And finally, you know, we've got Ray Moore, who the back and forth on, you know, maybe it's okay that he was going after 13-year-olds and blah blah blah. You know, it is still going on.
Yeah, but it's
I think
all good.
Tying this back to Franken real quick, I think one of the big reasons for Franken leaving and the pressure getting on is more people kept coming out of the woodwork on Franken, like. Every day it seemed like there was another one. But B is the Democrats were really starting to look inconsistent in terms of, and this may be all a Republican plot to do it this way, but the end result was people looking at Ray Moore were like, how can you expect us to treat him really harshly when, look, you're letting Franken get away with everything?
Exactly.
And that narrative was starting to build. And I think that's why, in the end, Franken.
That's the only
had
way
no
to
choice.
Nip it in the bud. I agree.
Because,
I agree.
You know, regardless, maybe Franken really was innocent about everything. In the end, Franken is going to fall on his own sword on this. And he's clearly not innocent of everything. But he's going to back off from this thing. He's going to resign, even if he feels like it's an unjust thing. Because in the end, the politics of it is he was giving an excuse. For people on the Republican side of the fence to say, well, you know, if you're not dealing with Franken, we're not going to deal with Moore.
Exactly.
But Donald Trump went all in on Moore in the last few days as well.
Right.
He's giving a rally.
Oh, yeah. He's all in. And the RNC.
Yeah. And so they whatever happens, they own it. But it's come back down to, OK, whatever he did, you know, we need that Republican in the Senate.
And and by the way, to all the Democrats who think that, you know, that we should go into the Republican morality method of winning, it's like win at all costs and, like, you know, forget about people who do bad things, they can go fuck themselves.
Okay. Well, Yvonne needs to go. So there is
need to go.
There is only one more thing to say. Oh, all the usual stuff. Facebook.com/curmudgeonscorner. Do us on Patreon, even though Patreon's kind of screwing everybody. I didn't get a chance to talk about that. But there's only one more thing, and then we'll wrap up the show. So here. So here we go. Okay, goodbye everybody. We'll see you next week on Curmudgeon's Corner.
Bye bye everybody.
Everybody hit the D-E-C-K. My slow flow's remarkable. He's too Mateo. Now we smoke weed like Tony Montana slipped the yo-yo. That's crazy blunts, mad L's. My voice excels from the avenue to jail cells. Oh my God, I'm dropping shit like a pigeon. I hope you're listening, smacking